Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. I hope that you are having a great day. All right. Hey, it's been a minute, right? It's been a minute since my last episode. And I feel like this episode in particular is an important episode for me. Because if you have followed the podcast over the years, you may notice that I tend to be really consistent with the podcast once or twice a week. And I'm really consistent with the podcast until I'm not. And then when I'm not, I just drop off the planet for a while. So I'll go 6 months and I'll be consistent, and then I'll suddenly stop doing it, and then 3 months will pass, and then I'll get back. Okay, so here it is. It's November 29th as I record this. My last episode was published on November 1st. It's titled "It's Thanksgiving Month." So this episode right here, this was a crucial one to get back to. Let me just say this, I've not been thinking about fundraising. I have been thinking about fundraising. Ladies and gentlemen, it's finally happening. For years, I have talked, been all talk, I've talked about writing a book on fundraising. Can I just say this? It has been an incredible year. It has. One of the most incredible of my life. And it's just across the board. So many, not incredible things that you would necessarily observe from a distance, right? It's not because I've had some amazing years where I think about going back 9 years ago, my family and I spent 3 months in Thailand. And if you would have followed us on social media that year, you would have been like, Clark's had an amazing year. But this year, you wouldn't necessarily have noticed that I was having an amazing year. But I set 12 goals at the beginning of the year, and I have accomplished 10 of them. One of them I decided was not important. It's just not a priority. I looked at it, and I was like, do I want to? No, I don't. All right. So let's just say I'm down to 11. So I've accomplished 10. What's the 11th? The 11th was writing my fundraising book, and that was definitely a goal. Because I wanted to do it this year. I wanted to be able to say I've written a book on fundraising. But it was stressing me out. And it's been stressing me out increasingly throughout the year because I actually set aside the month of May. I said May. I looked at my year and I'm like, all right, May. That's when I'm going to write my book. And then as May approached, I was going to go to Lake Tahoe, our home in Lake Tahoe, to write my book in Tahoe. Just remove myself from the wonderful distraction of family and just go to Tahoe and write my book. So our house in Tahoe is a short-term rental, right? It's an Airbnb, VRBO. May in Tahoe, it gets to be shoulder season. Demand goes down, rates go down, right? So it would be a good time to go to Tahoe and write my book. And for various reasons, as May approached, it was like, nah, this is not a good time for our family. And so once we got past May, the entire year, I felt the sense of guilt and anxiety because I'd been like, I was supposed to do it and I haven't done it. And I had never really said, this is the time I'm going to do it. But it just felt important. It felt like if I could accomplish this goal, this would be a year for the record books. And then if I didn't accomplish this last goal, it was going to be a big psychological blow. All this to say, I have now taken the month of November. And I have been writing, and honestly, a lot of my writing has taken place between the hours of 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. I'm having to burn the midnight oil to get this done. But I am really, let me just say this, I am really happy with what I am writing. I am really proud of the book so far. And the goal now, our family will leave for Tahoe for the holidays on December 18th. So that is my deadline to have my first draft done. And by the way, the way I am writing this, my first draft will be, it's a good draft. It's not like a super sloppy draft. It's a good draft. It's not going to be miles and miles from completion. But December 18th is the day our family will get on a plane to go to Tahoe. I'll send my draft to a few friends, some people I respect as fundraisers, for them to read and offer feedback. I will pass it on to some clients. I will pass it on to some fundraisers I have had the honor of mentoring, and I'll let them read it and offer feedback, and expect to complete it and publish it in early 2024. By the way, I feel no qualms about not publishing my book before the end of the year, because honestly, like, once the book is written, I'll get it published. The hard part that I really needed to set the goal for was writing it. All right, so December 18th, we go to Tahoe, it's a Monday. I want to take the weekend before to get some things, do some fun things with family and friends in Alabama. So Friday the 15th is my deadline to be D-O-N-E. And there's a whole other podcast that I could record on goal setting and psychology. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, you know how into that stuff I am. But today I'm going to now talk about the topic I promised you in the title to this episode. The day before Thanksgiving, here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Roll Tide, y'all. I had something I wanted to get from a local business that I do not go to often. I have been to a few times, but I had something I wanted to pick up for Thanksgiving. And I get in the car, I go, I walk in, and the business is gone. Okay. Like, I walked in, there were people there. All right. The door was unlocked. I walked right in. It wasn't like I tried to walk up and the door was locked and my face was peering in through the glass. Like, I walked in, and clearly I must have looked confused to the people working in this new business. And I'm like, what happened? What happened to the, all right, I'm not going to say the name of the business I was looking for, because I don't want to rag on the new people with what I'm about to say. But I go in and I'm clearly confused. You know, I'm like, where's, all right, I have to come up with some pseudonyms, because this is going to be really hard to tell you the story without at least coming up with some pseudonyms. So let's call these places. I was looking for Pepe's, and the new business is Tony's. How's that? I walk in, right, and I'm confused. Clearly, I'm confused. What happened to Pepe's? Where's Pepe's? And they just say, I don't know. This is Tony's now. And I'm like, I felt like, okay. So first of all, I knew with some certainty that Pepe's was still around, because I had looked them up on Google before getting in the car. I paid no attention to the address, which is why I was in the wrong location. I just looked at their business hours, and Google did not indicate to me that this business was no longer open. So I felt like I knew they were still around. But I'm like, where's Pepe's? And they just said, we don't know. They moved. We don't know. They moved. They're not here anymore. This is Tony's. And I'm just like, well, when did that happen? Right? They're like, it happened in June. So 5 months ago. So I obviously don't go here a lot, right? But it's been 5 months. Keep in mind, these are, okay, let me just, they're not competitors. They are quasi-related, kind of in the same industry, but they are not competitors. Pepe's left in June. Tony's moves in, and the people at Tony's have no idea where Pepe's went. And I got in my car and I opened Google Maps and I went and found Pepe's at their new location. But as I was driving across town, I got thinking about what happened. And I just immediately thought of the legendary story of the guy who returned tires to Nordstrom's. And so Nordstrom's, the luxury department store chain from Seattle. I have a great book on my bookshelf, by the way, about Nordstrom and learning about customer relations or donor relations through the lens of Nordstrom's. Years ago, there was a guy who walked into Nordstrom's and wanted to return tires. And of course, Nordstrom's does not sell tires, but Nordstrom's is famous for their return policy. This is part of their identity. It's part of their DNA. It's part of their brand. Returns at Nordstrom's are super easy. And this guy walks into Nordstrom's, which does clearly not sell tires. He walks in and says, I bought my tires here and I want to return them. And of course, Nordstrom's does not sell tires, but the clerk, nevertheless, asked the guy, do you remember what you paid for them? Because the guy does not have a receipt. And the clerk is like, do you remember what you paid for them? And this is years ago. I don't remember the exact amount, but the guy says, they were $50 a piece. And so the clerk counts out $200 in cash, hands it to the guy, and that was that. All right. And as they drove away from Tony's, right, my fictitious business named Tony's, as I drove away from Tony's, I thought, you know, the people who work at Tony's, they clearly never worked at Nordstrom's. Like, how do you not at some point figure out where the previous tenants of your storefront are now located? I can't be the first person who's walked in the past 5 months looking for Pepe's. How do you not engage me in some way, right? Like, these are quasi-related businesses. And look, the stuff I want to buy at Pepe's is not the essentials of life. This, I'm not trying to pay my cable bill or my cell phone bill or my water bill, right? Have you ever noticed that the systems they have in place to like pay your utility bills are terrible systems? And that's because there's no competition and they don't have to create a better system for you, right? Like, they'll shut off your water. They don't have to have a good system, right? But like at Pepe's, I'm not buying the essentials of life. So I clearly have some expendable income, and I'm like, how do you not engage me, seek to serve me, try to start a conversation with me? Oh yeah, they're here. What are you looking for? Oh yeah, they're great for that. Hey, here's what we do, right? Like, how do you not engage me? When I was at the Reagan Ranch, all right, which if you've not heard me talk about, right, I spent all these years at the presidential hall of President Ronald Reagan in Santa Barbara. I hosted lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of private visits, individual donors, right, who I was giving tours or doing a donor visit with the backdrop of a tour of the Reagan Ranch. And I, at the time, I was young when I first started out. I was doing these as an intern at the age of 19 or 20, a young development officer. I was 21, 22, right? So I just had so much to learn about life in general. And I fielded lots and lots and lots of questions. Questions about Reagan, questions about nonprofits, questions about other organizations within our little subculture, questions about California history, about Santa Barbara history, about giving, about the parent organization of the Reagan Ranch, about everything. And I was like, all the time I was being asked questions. Because every person I took to the ranch, we probably spent a minimum of 4 hours together. And I had a rule. My rule was I never got asked a question I didn't know the answer to a third time. if someone asked me a question I didn't know an answer to, that may be a random question that I never hear again. But if I get asked that question a second time, it's no longer a random question. And at that point, I would just say to my, like, you've got to learn the answer to this question. And I would kind of file it away in my brain, and I go back to my office that night or over the weekend or whatever, and I would find out the answer to that question, because it was no longer a random question. So I cannot imagine that I'm the first or second person to walk into Tony's looking for Pepe's. And so I'm just like, how? Do I just sound like an old curmudgeon here? I was thinking about this last night. Here's why this all came back to my mind, like, right now. Last night, as I was burning the midnight oil, writing my book, I was writing about the five ways of being. And this is from the Starbucks Green Apron Handbooks. Starbucks has this five ways of being in terms of how their team members interact with customers. And one of the five ways of being is to be knowledgeable. And as I was writing about this, I was talking about how in your world as a fundraiser, being knowledgeable means knowing everything you can about your programs, your work, your mission, the difference you are making in people's lives within your niche. Whatever organization you work for, there's a whole list or short list of other nonprofits that your donors are likely to give to. If you work for the local symphony, your donors likely give to the local art museum or the local theater. You should know those organizations. If you're an environmental organization, there are two or three big environmental groups that a large majority of your donors also give to. And you should know everything about those organizations. You should know their budget, the campaign they're currently working on or promoting, or what their talking points are, what their, right, like how they put it, what their pitch is. You should know their staff. You should know the names of the development officers likely to call on them. You should know, like, who your counterpart is. And you should be knowledgeable about philanthropy in general. What are the different vehicles donors can use to give? Like, of course, they can write a check, but like you should know about receiving gifts of appreciated stock, or you should know stories about how donors have given gifts of real estate, or how donors can give from their IRA. And you should know something about current tax laws and tax advantages. And I'm not asking you to be an expert on these things, but like, you know something about them. You should be able to talk intelligently about these things because you are knowledgeable. And you should be knowledgeable so that your donors view you as a professional. You are not just the nice man or the nice woman who comes by to thank them for their support. Right? And if you work at Tony's, being knowledgeable and serving would include, it would include knowing where Pepe's is. Just would. All right, that's it. Hey, if you want to stay up to date on my book, head over to our website, majorgiftsfundraiser.com, or in majorgiftsfundraiser.com. Scroll down, sign up for the email list. You can also find us on social media if you've not already started following us on social media. I'm the social media manager for Major Gifts Fundraiser. So if you comment, if you like stuff, I'll see you. All right, so we got Major Gifts Fundraiser on all the usual places: LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok. Also on LinkedIn, we have you can follow the Major Gifts Fundraiser page, but you can also connect with me personally. Feel free to reach out to me personally as well. The email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. I have mentioned this a few times over the past few months, but after the first of the year, we are starting some new group coaching pods. So these are small groups of professionals like you. These are people like you. You want to be awesome? Right? Have you noticed that, like, sometimes you want to be awesome and you're surrounded by people who don't have that same desire to be awesome, and those people are dragging you down? You want to surround yourself with people like you who want to be awesome. So we are going to be going through peak performance fundraising together. This is our flagship program. We're going to be walking through the training and the action steps together and getting on weekly coaching calls to wrestle with this content together. So if you are interested in those, again, the email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And hey, I know we're coming up on your end and you're busy and the hourglass is running thin. But if you need someone to talk to, if you need to just get your mind around something and you need someone to help you get your mind around something, like I am here to serve. And like, why in the world, if I am making myself available to you, why in the world would you not reach out? So email me, clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. We can get on the phone for 20 minutes. We can get on a Zoom call, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and just talk. All right. That's it. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Monica here again. If you like what you heard on this podcast, you'll love our online training programs. You can complete our online training programs at your own pace, and you can watch or listen to them from any device. And unlike that last conference you attended, the challenge questions and action steps that come with each of our modules will give you concrete things you can do today to level up as a fundraiser. You'll raise more money than ever before by developing deeper donor relationships than you ever thought possible. So head over to majorgiftsfundraiser.com to buy now. Thanks for listening.